The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to the Rawcast. I'm sorry. It's going to review the April 27th show and the January 19th WWF Raw's War Show. Also Don is here as well.
Hello, thank you for introducing me, Sam. How are you this week?
I'm okay. Just kind of dealing with a little something here, but it's fine.
All right.
No, yeah, everything's good. Let's see here. So we do have a couple of things in news real quick. Apollo Crews is out of the Money in the Bank ladder match because of a storyline injury that he suffered on Monday Night Raw. He's not actually injured. It doesn't really say. Let's see here.
That's unfortunate.
Let's see. So apparently he does have an injury, but it wasn't from...
Yeah, he does have an injury. That is true. This is true.
It wasn't from the show, though. So we have another release. Cain Velasquez has been released by the WWE.
Was he really signed, though?
I don't know.
I mean...
Well, he had a contract.
Yeah, put it that way. He was on the payroll. It must be nice to get paid and don't even show up to work but one time, right?
I mean, I don't know what his situation was like with how they were going to use him or anything. I just know that he was part of what they were doing. I don't know.
Well, they didn't use him the way that I saw the highlights when he did all that Lucha Libre stuff at AAA.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, Brock went in there and they just had a rematch, basically of the MMA match.
Didn't they use him also for something with Ray or no?
Yeah, that was in the build up to Brock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I was really paying attention at that time.
Yep.
I know that was going on. Also, another release is a longtime employee, Gerald Briscoe, has been furloughed.
Not Gerald Briscoe.
Yep. Let's see, he's 73. He was working in the office, you know, just being like an office guy.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Gerald Briscoe, man. Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe, they go together.
Right. Let's see, so that is about it for those things right there.
That's how Vince McMahon got on Atlanta TV. Gerald Briscoe and Jack Briscoe, they sold their shares to Vince McMahon behind Ole Anderson's back. And then that's how he ended up on their Atlanta TV. And
well, you know, he doesn't exactly treat people fairly. You know that.
Ole Anderson?
No, Vince McMahon. Come on. He hasn't been like the most, like, he hasn't looked the biggest saint.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, but I mean, they've been there since like 85. It's a long time, brother.
Yeah.
But yeah, one time for Gerald Briscoe, I don't care if you're 25, 35, 45, you don't want none with Gerald Briscoe.
Let's see here. So we have Monday Night Raw from this past Monday. Samoa Joe is back on commentary.
Hey.
The VIP lounge is open. MVP says he has Rey Mysterio on the show. Aleister Black also joins. But what happened? Oh, he took your camera off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Aleister Black also joins MVP and Ray as the Apollo Crews, who MVP endorses as the winner of the Money in the Bank match. he asks them questions and doesn't let them answer. Apollo Crews grabs a mic, but is cut off by Los Ingobernables de Orlando. Zelina sees that the WWE can't get enough of her crew. Let's see here. They can't get enough of her crew. They are the future of Raw, according to Zelina. They come down, redecorate the set a bit, talk smack. She wants the three Money in the Bank competitors to let Leo replace them. Ray calls Zelina loca and says that they are there to pick a fight. They fight, Leo gets dealt with. So it's Los Ingobernables de Orlando versus Apollo, Ray, and Aleister.
So now a little bit, we have to have a little bit of Zelina appreciation here at the beginning of the top of the show. Not only for the outfit, not only for the promo, but for getting up and down the ramp in those heels several times in the night. So one time for Zelina Vega, looking like brand new money. Okay, continue, sir.
Oh, let's see here. You see, Aleister starts out with some groundwork on Angel. Angel gets kicked in the face, and Zelina tells him to shake it off. Later, Austin and Angel try to double team Ray. Ray makes a comeback, but Andrade cuts him off. Austin Theory shows off his power by slamming Aleister around. Austin has him in a hold, and Angel yells at the ref. He's saying yes. The match rolls on. LIO takes advantage of a beaten down Ray. He has no one to tag as Apollo and Aleister were taken out. He finally tags in Apollo and he is fired up. Some back and forth happens. Eventually Apollo gets the... I can't read my handwriting. Eventually Apollo gets the upper hand. I think that's what I said. He hits his version of the Sky High. Oh, he gets the pin. Okay, he gets the pin after getting his version of the Sky High. Charlie asks Andrade backstage what happened in the match. He says his partner let him down. His partners let him down, and he can take any one of them out. To take any of them out one on one. Apollo tells Charlie that he can take Andrade anytime. Andrade comes back and Apollo gives him the slap of his life. He slapped his soul out of his body.
Yeah, man. He introduced him to the five fingers. He slapped fire out of poor Andrade here. Good stuff from Apollo Crews. The match was good. He showcased good fire in the match. Got the win, got the pin on the United States champion. And they let him have a little something in this promo, too. So, one time for Apollo Crews.
You see, they're showing Triple H clips all night. Asuka versus Shayna, versus Nia Jax. Before the match, Shayna goes after Asuka. No, before the match, Shayna goes after Asuka immediately. She tosses her into the ladders. Nia shoves her, but Shayna makes a comeback. She sets up a ladder like last week, but Asuka shoves Shayna into the ladder. Nia tackles Asuka and tosses the ladder in the ring and uses it. The match never gets started, and Nia Jax stands tall.
What a piece of crap type of booking this was. Oh, my gosh. This is the one match that was like, oh, they're doing this? Then after they have that long-ass tag team match, then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, they finna do the triple threat right now? Okay, let me get settled in and watch this. Then they start, and they're brawling and wrecking, and everybody's getting a turn. Then all of a sudden, Nia Jax does her little thing, and then it's like, her music plays. It's like, huh? It's over?
Like, no, I thought a match had started, but nothing happened.
Yeah, it's like,
and it's just kind of like, who are they trying? Okay, they've been pushing Shayna, but then now they're pushing Nia at the detriment of Shayna, apparently. So I don't understand what's going on with this booking.
Yeah, it was definitely curious at best here, but yeah, oh man, not what you want when they advertise a triple threat with those three.
Let's see here. Bobby and Lana are fighting again. He calls her a distraction. Of course, she gets upset, but he says it's because she's so beautiful that he can't focus on his match. see, that's how you play that. That's how you turn that right there. Bobby versus local competitor. And of course, the homie Asia Pereira is your ref, and Bobby wins. Yeah. Liv Morgan versus
one time for Asia Pereira. One time.
Let's see, Liv Morgan versus Ruby Wright again. Ruby hits a something kick, a side kick. I don't know.
The riot kick,
but Liv kicks out. You see, Liv wins again after hitting a new finisher, which she calls the Oblivion.
Yeah, it's the Flatliner Springboard.
That's the same move that she. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, isn't the same move that she's been using?
She just gave it a name. It just has an official name now.
Branding, huh?
Yeah.
See, Byron interviews Liv. He asks if this is a new chapter for her. She says, like any person her age, she is trying to find her way. Okay. So Charlie interviews Nia. She asks about her recent actions. Nia asks what anyone can do about her actions. Nothing. The Viking Raiders cut a promo on Profits.
Oh, you didn't do it like she did. My ears, thank you.
Oh. That screeching?
Yeah, that was a little,
was a little much. Basically, they say they want the smoke.
Yeah, the Viking Raiders. Yeah. They said they always, the Street Profits have basically followed them everywhere they've gone. As far as they left NXT, then the Street Profits picked up the NXT titles. They got hurt at Raw, then the Street Profits picked up the Raw tag team titles. So they never beat them and said, yeah, they want the smoke.
All right, so they see Akira Tozawa versus Jinder Mahal. They keep pushing the fact that Jinder was a champion. So I guess it's now that they have like a limited roster.
Jinder
has. Kind of that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Never hit Jinder.
So Jinder is manhandling Tozawa, slamming against the dasher boards and the barricade. He hits his finisher, and that is all she wrote for Akira. Man, they just keep using this poor fella. Abusing him.
Yeah, he's not much on Raw, but he got a win over on the NXT side, though. In the tournament.
Let's see. Charlie tries to interview Andrade. Zelina cuts her off and tells her if she wants to ask Andrade something, she has to go through her. And, of course, Angel waits for Zelina to leave, and then he saunters over and asks Charlie if they can get better acquainted. She's smitten and says yes. Or yeah. No, she says yeah. Angel presents her with a rose and then dashes away, and Charlie is smitten.
Wouldn't you be? I mean, it's Angel Garza out here just shooting a shot, hitting all types of marks. He's not missing right now when it comes to.
Wasn't his girl out there as a camera? A girl out there as a cameraman like 2 weeks ago.
Hey!
Charlie better watch out. She's gonna get her wig snatched.
This is the Didi Jarnay edition now. Kayfabe here.
So I hear what you're saying. There's like a little beep somewhere in the background. I hear it.
Mm-hmm. Just slightly.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. All right, so Apollo Crews versus Andrade, United States champion. So this was actually a good match.
You know, and this could be a big mistake with Apollo Crews. You know, Andrade, he's sitting there staring at this thinking, this is just another roadblock in my legacy. Apollo Crews is not a roadblock, and he could very well pull off the championship win here tonight.
Look at this. Oh, and the drop kick out of the corner by Andrade.
Yeah. Andrade successfully meeting Apollo to the punch there.
And now Andrade missing in the corner and a hard spill to the outside.
And Apollo not wasting any time wisely, dragging himself to the apron, knowing he has to maintain the attack. He needs a follow-up now.
He's about to take it to the skies.
Oh, send up for the moonsault. Oh, and clobber by Andrade. It looked like Cruz tweaked the knee. Trying to close out Apollo Crews.
This will be over if Andrade hits it.
Crews trying to block. Sunset flip. Here's the cover by Andrade and a kick out by Apollo. And Seguri. Apollo fight through the pain. Crews with the slam. And the cover. Two. The title. And a kick out.
Looks like Andrade's looking for a superplex.
And trying to rip Apollo Crews off. Easier said than done to the 240-pounder who answers with a big headbutt.
And Crews is going up. This could be it.
Apollo Crews from the top. Andrade down. Thought about the splash.
Oh, no.
He came down right down on that knee.
Hey, talk to me.
Crews went for it on, landed on that knee.
And Andrade remorseless, trying to go after Crews. The official trying to check if Crews can continue.
Come on, Ruth. Come on, Ruth.
I mean, the heart may be willing, but the body, boys.
Hey, ring a bell.
No, I'm not going to let you do this.
Referee has ruled that Apollo Crews can't continue in this match. Therefore, your winner, and still the United States champion, Andrade!
You got to respect the official's decision to want to preserve the health of Apollo, but this is heartbreaking.
This is beyond heartbreaking.
Everything that's happened tonight was pointing towards Apollo Crews potentially getting over the hump, getting to a championship finally here in WWE.
Poor Apollo here. This was a very old school match, and it where like they're pushing Apollo as like the sympathetic guy. It's like, oh, poor Apollo, you know?
Exactly, man. It worked.
Yeah. So hopefully the next thing he needs to chase around at chase him for a bit, ask him for a rematch. I'd rather say no, but eventually they happen to meet again in a big money match at a pay-per-view where hopefully Apollo wins.
Hey man, that's fantastic booking. That's exactly what I would have said. This was a great showcase for Apollo Crews the whole evening.
Yeah, they've been pushing him lately. I mean, of course they have a limited roster, so.
Hey, availability is your best ability in these days and times, and anybody who's close enough to drive or in Orlando just as a resident right now, they're getting the spots. I mean, Austin Theory, he's got a spot. We're gonna talk about some guys later. Look like they got a spot. So, you know, some other guys have gotten a chance to. Underneath talents have got a big chance in this last 6 weeks.
You see, Street Profits cut a promo on the cosplaying carpool karaoke driving Raiders. They get serious, saying that the Viking Raiders are right and there's no time for clowning around. They're both free next week, though.
Before that, my man was like, Dawkins was like, it's 2020, fam. Get on Spotify.
Right. Let's see. Cedric Alexander and Ricochet, the modern day rockers, against Ever-Rise. So apparently these guys have been on NXT or something. I've never seen them.
Oh, yeah. Ever-Rise, yeah. Yeah.
They got them. Come on. Ever-Rise actually has some go to them. They actually do some good tandem offense. But Cedric and Ricochet do turn it up to 11, though. They eventually get the pin after some slick double moves.
Rick O'Shea, yes, and Cedric Alexander. I don't know if I would call them the...
Well, did you ever see them when they were actually good, like in their heyday? They were blazing across the ring.
Yeah, I know that, but I wouldn't classify those two guys as the new rockers.
They're super flippy and they wear the same tights. I mean, come on.
They do need a team name, though. They got to come up with something.
Yeah.
You got something besides the New Age Rockers?
I have nothing.
You can't be the New Age or the Next or, you know.
There were already some new rockers. It was Bob Holly and Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, Marty Jannetty, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like. They were trying to make Edge and Christian the new Midnight Express or somebody like that.
Wow. All right, so MVP appears on the Titantron, like some kind of evil villain or something, like a Bond villain, praising the two gentlemen. He introduces Shane Thorne and Brendan Biggs, saying they demand a rematch. It is set for next week.
Now, this is what's messed up. We got it right there. He out here endorsing the wrong team. Come on, MVP.
Right. He's just mad. I don't know.
He's supposed to be out here getting behind Cedric and Ricochet.
Right. So Apollo is in the back on crutches. Charlie interviews him. He's sobbing. He's in so much pain, and he's too hurt to even answer the questions.
Yeah, man. Just a sad state of affairs for Mr. Apollo Crews. But, you know, it's a good look. It's a good look. He got a lot of sympathy.
Okay, Ramen Noodle Jerry is in the ring for the contract signing. Drew warns him that things may get out of hand. So he better leave. Drew signs the contract. Seth looks over the contract. Seth says he doesn't want to do this. He has to do this. Drew will be a great champion someday. Drew is a great man, but he is not a leader. Seth is a leader of men, and he will lead him, and he will lead Drew too. He signs. Drew asks, where are Seth's followers now, and why did the fans turn on him? He gives him advice, shut your mouth, and have money in the bank. Seth needs to finish the job. Seth talks some more, but Drew attacks him. Papa Murphy arrives and attacks Drew. He and Seth embrace. Seth ducks out of the way as Drew goes to claymore him. Instead, he claymores Murphy. Seth walks up the ramp as Drew is looking over the contract, and that is your Monday Night Raw.
I know you like this about Drew McIntyre, that he is not the gullible babyface, that he is the smart babyface.
He's not being pushed as a geek, yeah.
That he's attacking, he's being cool, he's talking cool, he's talking shit. Yeah, they're doing a good job. Do you agree with that? Disagree with that?
Yeah, no, this is a good show. And they're doing a good job with Drew so far. But
I'd like to hear from you.
So we go from an okay show to Donald. I know this is retro and we're supposed to praise the old school stuff, but aside from like two segments, this next one was a really, really bad show.
Hey, man. Sometimes things that are iconic. They're iconic for a reason, because they stand out above everything else.
This was a pretty crappy Raw. So we're going to go into it here. The show starts with a tribute to Vince McMahon Sr.'s second wife, Juanita McMahon. See here, Raw is War, January 19, 1988, from Fresno, California. Paul Bearer comes down the cut of boarding, put up 20-minute promo. He is full of himself, sauntering around the ring, telling everyone he fooled them amid chance of you suck, to which he replies, well, if I do, I must be good. he says that was a little Percy Pringle right there. Because, you know, he was always a weird dude. Let's see here. He deserves awards and accolades for his recent performances, because for the first time in 7 years, he saw The Undertaker smile, because he thought his baby brother had come back to the fold. He begins to describe his actions last night at the Royal Rumble, when they locked The Undertaker in the casket, rolled it out on stage, and lit it on fire. He declares that Undertaker is gone and is to never return. The Undertaker's music starts all of a sudden. Some druids, including a fat one wearing a robe two sizes too tight, come down, rolling a casket. They have problems with this casket. Did you notice that?
No, I wasn't paying that close attention.
It was so funny because it was trying to roll straight, but it kept trying to make a weird turn, and they keep having trouble with it. However, why don't they do this again? They've done this 3 times already, like this whole fool you thing where the Undertaker. This is where I thought this kind of fell off, because I'm like, you know the definition of a you know what a surprise is, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a surprise. We already knew that it wasn't going to be Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And then they did it again later on the same show.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just, you know, people are wanting to see the Undertaker, wanting to make sure he's all right, so they can throw that tease in there.
Let's see here. So it's Kane inside the casket, not Undertaker. He mentions it. Paul Bearer mentions that he's Paul Bearer and you're not, which he was kind of using as like a catchphrase at the time. DX is in the locker room. Jim Ross interviewing him on the Tron. Triple H talks about Owen Hart and that he needs to pack his bag and leave like the Undertaker.
No, he says he proved last night at the Royal Rumble he couldn't cut it and that he probably needs to go down south. That's what he said.
To Atlanta? Okay, so he praises HBK. Sean says if he couldn't sleep last night, he tossed and turned guilt-ridden over what happened to the Undertaker. They vow to find the Undertaker and bring him back tonight. Now I don't know. If it's on the network version, but the tape, the VHS tape, has like a scene after the show where the referee opens up the casket and finds that there's no one inside.
Yeah, you're talking about the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah. That was on the network.
I don't know about the network, but I know that's on the original one.
Yeah, that was on the VHS tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know that he made it out.
The thing about this particular Royal Rumble and this match is, this is a match that changed Shawn Michaels' career because this is a match where he took the backdrop and hit the edge of the.
Are you sure? Because I looked at this and it seems like he missed.
No.
If you look at what he does on this show, he's pretty mobile. But then again, there are some things you can take to numb the pain.
Yeah, but it was during this match. It wasn't before this match. It was this match right here was the one that started it all.
Go look at it again. He looks like he misses. I don't know. Because I rewound it like a good 3 times. I don't think he actually hit it here.
But yep, this is a.
Win. That's just I think that's the story they say.
Well, we'll find out. But yeah, this is where he starts saying that, you know, he's got back issues. Yeah. And his back is bad.
Because like the only time I noticed this night where his back was giving him any problems is when he tried to pick up one of the minis.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells China to like pick him up because he can't reach down that far. That's the only time because other than that, he had like some young girl like jumping in his arms. He's over here lifting up barbecue grills and stuff. So I don't know. But then again, like I said, there are some pharmaceutical things you can take for those problems.
Right. And at that time, he would be all about that.
Right. So they vow to find the Undertaker. DOA versus Nation of Domination.
We are the Nation of Domination.
So I don't know how much of a biker thing is going on down in Fresno, California, but these people were getting cheered.
Well, it's the black radicals, black militants versus the white bikers. Okay.
Okay, so it's just by process of elimination that you cheer for the other guys.
Right.
Right.
The Rock wasn't out there either. It was just it was a 6-man, but it was Farooq, D'Lo, and Kama Mustafa. So yeah,
right. Let's see here. I'm trying to I lost my place. So the story they've been telling is that Farooq is in charge of the Nation, not The Rock. That's probably why he kept them in the back.
Yeah, maybe.
So this was a really, really bad match. Like, I almost forgot that this era is like probably had the worst wrestling matches because people like Vince Russo were like, oh, they don't come to see the wrestling. Mm. Just throw anything out there.
Oh, man, which one is that? Had to be 8-Ball. He wasn't selling shit for Nation of Domination. He wasn't selling for fucking Ron Simmons. He wasn't selling for fucking D'Lo. Like, D'Lo slams him. D'Lo goes up to go do the moonsault. He's already out of the way when D'Lo goes
to he missed pretty the badly, moonsault.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
So a fight breaks out. The ref calls for the bell. Mark Henry runs down along with The Rock. They beat down DOA and Ken Shamrock and Ahmed Johnson joins. And I had no idea Ahmed Johnson was still employed.
Yeah, me either.
The good guys stand tall as the Nation heads up the ramp in defeat. A hearse arrives at the building just as we go to commercial. All right, so this next segment here is the next little commercial ad that they play. Vince Russo on my screen. Great.
Oh yeah, it was the Raw magazine.
Yeah, so a Vince Russo Vic Venom promo plays. So there's a little backstory to this. So before he was in creative, Vince Russo had his own dirt sheet. Did you know that?
Yes. Every week okay, in so the Raw magazine. Yeah.
No, before this.
Oh, before that? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. No, what about that?
So he had his own little dirt sheet. It was scalding. It was insidery. It was The Bite by Vic Venom.
No.
Really. He wrote it under the guise as an anonymous WF employee who had gone rogue. I remember this because I used to subscribe to it. Because, like, you know, it was like hot gossip and tidbits and behind-the-scenes stuff, and it was great. And but little did I know that it was all company-approved and probably a bunch of lies as well.
You were getting worked by a bunch of workers?
Yeah, so when I saw this commercial, I said, wait, that's Vic Venom. So I was reading the sheets, like the regular sheets by now, so I knew who Vince Russo was, but I had no idea he was the same person. As Vic Venom.
Yeah,
I didn't know that he was the anonymous employee.
That's what aliases are supposed to do.
Right. So, yeah, he was on my screen and I wanted to vomit. So, Tom Brandy versus Mark Mero. Salvador Sincere is no longer Salvador Sincere, even if he is wearing the same gear.
Biggest star in this match, Sable.
Sable and Mark Mero come down with Mark covering her up with a robe that says property of Mark Mero. He wants Sable to disrobe him, but instead Tom Brandy takes the opportunity to jump him from behind. A man in a suit approaches Sable with a bouquet of daisies. Not even the good stuff, not even roses, just daisies. Mero sees this, jumps out of the ring, demands to know who it's from. He stomps the flowers and demands that Sable leave the ringside area. Brandy gets the upper hand at this point. Sable comes back to ringside. Sable gets on the apron, distracts the referee while Mero low blows Brandy and TKOs him for the pinfall.
Distraction. Gotta take a drink. Sip your Mountain Dew, homie.
In normal wrestling, the way we see it now, Sal Sincere and him would have gone 50-50. But Sal Sincere was getting beat every week. Like, normal wrestling dictates that Salvador Sincere walks away with Sable at the end of the feud. However, this is Tom Brandy we're talking about, and the other guy's Mark Mero. He's the star. No, there's no way in any universe Tom Brandy should have got a victory over Mark Mero.
Even the former Johnny B. Bad had a little bit more clout than the former Salvador Sincere, huh?
But see, so I got used to their weird booking that they have now that, you know, I look back on this like, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah, Tom Brandy was fighting back. He was the one who was valiantly trying to get Sable to break away, break away, break away. And he was taking ass beatings every week in his attempts. So, yeah, it was a good story to advance what they were doing overall with Sable.
Right. So DX approaches the hearse. They get ready to attack whoever's inside. They open the door and there's a gaggle of groupies. One of them jumps into Sean's arms, and I don't know, like, if my back was killing me and this happened, I would have dropped and be like, what the heck are you doing? So they climb in, China, the camera pans it on China. She rolls her eyes and closes the door like, what a bunch of morons I'm dealing with here.
High school Harry hijinks.
Right. A limo arrives, Shane McMahon climbs out, followed by Mike Tyson and his crew.
Oh, shit. Business just picked up.
See Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie versus the Quebecers.
It's time for the Raw Zone.
I have to tell you something here. One of these men in the ring have held the Ring of Honor Championship in the modern era. Can you guess which one?
Yeah, that would be old big old Carl Ouellette.
Yeah, PCO is in this match.
Yes, he was. The famous Rougeau brothers.
For some reason. Terry Funk is just being Terry Funk in this match. He's doing all kinds of weird moves.
Oh, man. Yeah, when they drop him over the damn top rope, chest first, that's a good one. There's another sequence where, like, I don't know.
He does that Vader splash to the outside.
Yeah, but no, he does this some shit where he does, like, he gets dizzy somehow and does, like, three circle, like, sideways circles and then falls down. It's just Terry Funk being Terry Funk.
So, yeah, so Cactus puts the mandible claw on the ref, and the bell rings and it's over, but the Quebecers still keep beating them. Chainsaw pulls out, Cactus pulls out the barbed wire bat, and the Quebecers hightail it out of there. The search for the Undertaker continues. DX interrogates the luchador, the mini luchadors. China picks up Max Mini because Sean can't bend down that far. They eventually give up and leave. You see Mike Tyson is backstage with Sergeant Slaughter, Tony Gurria, Patterson and Briscoe, and a slew of other McMahon cronies. Blackjack Bradshaw versus Jeff Jarrett for the NWA North American Championship. Jim Cornette on commentary. Cornette claims that he made calls to demand that this match be a NWA championship match to prove that his wrestlers are better than the WWF wrestlers, which he basically calls an outlaw mud show. The Rock and Roll Express are ringside to make sure that none of the WWF wrestlers interfere, according to Cornette. However, they start interfering themselves. They start doing things to Bradshaw. Bradshaw makes a comeback. It's a series of moves capped off with a big boot. He delivers a power bomb. Cornette climbs on the apron, distracting Jeremy Cordero as the Express get in the ring. Blackjack jumps in the ring and accidentally clotheslines Bradshaw, causing him to get pinned. The Express and Jarrett jump Bradshaw as Wyndham looks on. He jumps in the ring, helps Bradshaw up, then hits him with a lariat and joins the NWA. I like how when they pull in on Barry Wyndham and he shrugs his shoulders and goes, "Sorry, Mom."
Oh, big Barry Wyndham, man. Golly. Just 8 years prior to that, probably the best wrestler in the whole world, 1986, 1987. Man, Barry Wyndham was so good. He's probably about 30 pounds overweight here in the WWF. 98.
Right, yeah. Oh, you should see him when he was in there in 97 as the Stalker. That was pretty bad, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Kelly mentions that Jim Cornette last night on AOL.com swore that he'd have a new member of NWA tonight.
Well, there you go.
All right, so in the locker room, Sean is dismayed because he promised the fans he would find The Undertaker, and so far nothing. Hunter points somewhere. Everyone looks somewhere except for the cameraman. He's still focused on Triple H. We go to commercial. Martin Luther King promo. The Undertaker's music plays as does his lighting. The Undertaker rappels down to the stage. The arena gets dark. When the lights come back up, we find that it's Shawn Michaels dressed up as The Undertaker. Now, I know you've seen this before, but were you fooled by this? Even back then, I was not.
You pretty probably knew there was going to be some hijinks at this point because it's DX.
Right. So let's see here. Shawn and Triple H put on Riff Chef hats. China rolls down with the barbecue grill. Triple H's errand says, "Suck the cook." They have weenies and marshmallows and are making phalluses with the They put two marshmallows at the end of the weenie to make it look like a penis. Shawn Michaels has a big sausage and he's tucking his pants and jerking it off.
1998, man.
This was really odd. And at one point he shows it to China and then she turns around and he's just he rams it in her ass. I was like, what am I looking at here?
1998, man.
This is disturbing. So, let's see here. Triple H talks about Owen Hart again, challenges him to a European Championship match next week. Triple H has an announcement to the California girls. They don't need the right Space Mountain because it's old and broken down. HBK mentions that all by himself, all alone, with no help from anyone, defeated The Undertaker last night. HBK gets serious, puts the weenies and stuff away, and addresses Stone Cold Steve Austin. He lists Austin's titles and accomplishments. There is only one more mountain for him to climb, but HBK owns that mountain. He tells him the same thing he told all the wrestlers that he sent down south. The Heartbreak Kid lays down for absolutely no one. And that's what I really liked about Michaels is all those other people were goofing off with their promos. Even now, you stop being goofy and silly, be serious and cut a scathing promo on somebody.
Yeah, there's a time.
He knew when to be serious, and he knew when to goof around.
Right, right.
So that was great. Mike Tyson is talking to LOD backstage near the AOL banner. Sonny approaches and is spitting. LOD finds it amusing. You know who didn't find it amusing? Jerry Lawler. I wonder why. A little bit of schism there. Let's see. Los Boricuas versus the Headbangers. Oh, the Los Boricuas versus the Headbangers, Owen Hart and Takamichi Noku. This was another horrible match. Let's see. The Honky Tonk Man is on commentary. This is a retaliation for the hubbub that's been happening lately. The Honky Tonk and King conspire to give Mike Tyson a pile driver. King calls Taka a tempura shrimp. Owen Hart gets the hot tag and is a house of fire, putting a Boricua in the sharpshooter and getting the victory. Michael Cole interviews Owen. He asks him if he will accept Triple H's challenge. He says he doesn't know what Hunter's up to, but when it comes to getting his hands on him, he is all about it. So Mike Tyson with the Nation backstage, they're trying to recruit him. let's see. Did you ever hear the story about Farouk at the airport?
Mm-mm.
So Farouk, you know, during his Nation period, he's at the airport, I think with Mark Henry or somebody. And he's just like waiting for, he's either waiting for his next plane or he's waiting for like a cab or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, according to him, the words, he's like black nationalists. Mm-hmm. They came up to him. We're like, yeah, we're having a gathering later on and we'd like you to come speak. Oh, crap. Hey, what have I got myself into? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And he said he got out of Dodge as soon as possible.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's funny.
So let's see The Rock versus Ahmed Johnson. I don't know how well you know of like music from the mid-90s, but like Ahmed Johnson's theme music sounds like the opening to the Beck song, Loser.
I've heard that song, so yes, I a little bit, yes, but you know that's what Jim Johnson did. He kind of used a little bit of a popular sound in the song to create these other songs.
So I think this is one of Ahmed's last appearances in WWF. I know that like his last pay-per-view was No Way Out, but he kind of just withered away. He kind of drifted away around this period and never to be seen again. Let's see here. During the match, Mark Henry hits Ahmed with a chair behind the ref's back. The Rock pins him, celebrates with Henry, but then Shamrock runs down and runs the two men off. And this was also bad. Ahmed Johnson is horrible. Like, if you see him in the ring trying to give The Rock direction, it's funny. Because he says, because he keeps blocking his suplex, but then Ahmed Johnson gets mad. He's like, okay, one, two, three, go. And so he says, one, two, three, go. And then waits for like 5 seconds and then tries to suplex him. It's so weird.
Ahmed Johnson was always awkward, man. He had one moment.
This was not one of them.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mike Tyson is backstage with Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie. He's admiring the barbed wire bat. So pay attention to this next segment later because it'll come into play down the road. DX is admiring Mike Tyson's tattoos backstage while Tyson is admiring Shida's muscles. And Shida is giving Tyson the elevator pitch. So tuck that in the back of your head and remember that for later. If you know where I'm going with this.
No, that's why I'm tucking it in my back of my mind for later.
Okay. All right, so the New Age Outlaws versus the Godwins. This is also horrible. New Age Outlaws say they have no beef with the Godwins. They say they have lowered themselves to wear overalls because they have loyalty to Southern Justice. Now, Southern Justice is what they call themselves later. They have not been named Southern Justice yet, so people were so confused as to what the heck he was talking about. The Godwins attacks the Outlaws, stripping the overalls off of Billy Gunn. The Godwins get a near fall on Billy as they kick and beat on him. After more wrestling, Billy hits Phineas with his stuffed pig, and they get the victory. Henry hits Road Dogg with a slop bucket. He then picks up the pig and pulls a brick out of it. Oh, no.
That was a bad look.
This whole show has been awful. Let's see. Vince McMahon comes down. He introduces Mike Tyson to a chorus of boos. Now, I wasn't really paying attention to stuff at the time. I don't think Mike Tyson was very liked. Now, was it because of the ear biting incident or the rape charge?
This was the ear biting incident he was coming off of. He was not allowed to compete anywhere in the country at the time. So this was the first real thing that he had done in about a year and a half, maybe, since the ear biting thing.
Okay, so that's why they were mad. It wasn't because he did horrible things to a person. Okay.
No. These are sports fans, dude.
Okay. All right. Sorry. So let's see. He comes out with his entourage. Now I'm not sure. I don't think this is the original song they played for Mike Tyson. I've tried to look it up. They all have this song, but I don't think this is the original. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying because it sounded really bad and it sounded piped in, like it sounded fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can tell the WWE sound pipe in.
Because like they turn the rest of it down. I don't know if you noticed that or not. The rest of the audio also goes down when they pipe in like one of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
You notice it especially when they do like a Jericho song or a Jericho theme instead of like that old like TNT basketball thing that they used to play for them. They pipe in the Break the Walls Down.
Mm.
All right, so Tyson says he's been a fan of the WWF since he was 9 years old. Vince asked him who his favorite wrestler was. Bruno Sammartino. And the man jumped in with, and Don Leo Jonathan. Now, I know who Don Leo Jonathan is. I guarantee you nobody in this building knows who the heck Don Leo Jonathan is.
Yeah, these are old school New York wrestlers.
I know who that is. I'm just saying it was just so weird. I just jumped in there with that. He could have said anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Mike Tyson's like, and Nikolai Volkoff. I'm like, really?
He's talking about who he grew up with, man. You gotta remember, this is the 80s in New York. 70s and 80s.
That was just kind
of not like they're getting the best of the best wrestling there is in the world in New York at that time.
I'm like, fine, okay, Nikolai Volkov, all right. that was just odd, but anyway, you see, all right. So Big Man is about to make the big announcement when the glass breaks and Stone Cold Steve Austin's music hits. Austin gets in the ring. WF officials swarm the ring to hold Austin back. Austin does his four-corner salute, shoving Tyson's entourage out of the way. McMahon asks why he's there. Austin says he's sick and tired of seeing Mike Tyson here. It's so sick, he's been in the back throwing up. Tyson extends his hand. Austin says he ain't here to shake his hand because he ain't here to make friends. Tyson goes to say something. Austin tells him to shut up. Dang. Let's see here. He respects Tyson's boxing career, but this is a different world, and it's Austin's ring, and he wants a piece of Tyson's ass. He tells Vince not to say one word because, quote, I will knock your damn lights out, too. he says that Tyson calls himself the baddest man on the planet, but Austin is the world's toughest son of a bitch. And then we get the line that shook me to the core as a team. Do I think he could beat my ass? Hell no. Do I think I can beat your ass? Oh, hell yeah.
If it's real, man. Stone Cold's real.
This is so good. He doesn't know how good Tyson's hearing is, but in case he didn't understand, he got some sign language for him. he flips him off. Tyson shoves Austin, and away we go.
And that's when the money starts flying, boy.
Did you see that, too? He drops money. The entourage doesn't scurry to back him up. They run down that money.
Yeah, man. He probably had about $5,000 in his pocket, man, and that shit went everywhere.
Hurry to beat that money.
Yeah, so they're like in the ring pushing and shoving and people trying to break them up, trying to avoid the entourage's obstacles because they're down there scooping up $100 bills. It's great.
That was so funny.
That's the most iconic thing to me that comes to money, besides the first time I ever saw somebody get hit with a roll of quarters, and that was when Nick Botwinkle beat Curt Hennig when Curt Hennig was about to go to the WWF. He was the champion. And they put the title back on Nick Botwinkle. This is like towards the very end of the AWA. And Nick Botwinkle had a damn handful of loaded roll of quarters taped up. And he hit him with it. Wow. And when he hit him with it, man, you could see the quarters like glint off against the light. So Curt Hennig stretched out. Referee counts 1, 2, 3. There's quarters bouncing off the mat everywhere. Like, how come the ref didn't see any of that? But yeah, this was the next most memorable thing when it comes to money. Like, there was money everywhere, and right, they weren't quarters.
Now, was this before or after they tried to push for Gagne's son?
Oh, this was well after, man. This was well after. Greg Gagne was a good wrestler, man. I used to watch the AWA because it came on when we got out of school at like 4 o'clock. So I used to watch the AWA. Greg Gagne was good. Zbyszko was good. Curt Hennig was excellent. Big Scott Hall, he was good. The Rockers
starting. I just know that history is not kind to this era of AWA.
Yeah. But Greg Gagne, I like Greg Gagne.
Great baseball player too.
Didn't know that, but I definitely.
No, I'm kidding. There is a baseball player named Greg Gagne.
Not him. Yeah, played for the Twins actually too. That's funny.
let's see here. So the officials pull Austin out of the ring, but McMahon yelling, "You ruined it!" Austin. And then, as he's being dragged away, Austin flips off McMahon. Let's see here. Backstage after commercial, Tyson demands an explanation as we're getting ready to go off the air. And just as he goes off the air, he says a derogatory word. He calls Austin a derogatory word for homosexuals. So, yeah, this was 1988, definitely.
Yes, it was.
And I'm pretty sure we got a Cold Stone in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the Raw's War. Horrible show, except for like one segment.
Stone Cold, baby. It was all about the build up to Stone Cold. They ran it all night. Hey, Austin's going to be here. Mike Tyson's going to be here. And then they clashed. And then Stone Cold went out there and did what he was supposed to do. Get in Mike Tyson's face so that he wasn't mad. So that it told him exactly what he thought of him. And then, you know, it was on.
I remember seeing this for the first time and I was like, wait a minute. They promised that Austin would come out. Oh, man, oh, this is horrible. Oh, worst episode ever. I had to sit through this crap, and then all of a sudden you hear that glass. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, man, this was the night that they broke the string right here.
See, no, I looked that up.
It's not?
It was not. What it was Austin versus McMahon, where like Austin had his hand tied behind his back.
Okay.
That was the night.
The night where they did the like what's that? 3 months later, the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah, was it the night after WrestleMania? It was like in April. I know it was April.
Yeah, it had to be the night after WrestleMania.
Because I remember this was around. Yeah. It must have been because this was like right before they were pushing Dude Love.
Oh yeah, your boy. Dude Love. Hey man, when Steve Austin helps Mick Foley win the championship when he was hurt that time, for that little bit of time, and he could just like do run-ins and shit, that's one of the biggest fucking pops on Monday Night Raw ever. The night that Tony Schiavone is like, oh, that'll put butts in seats. If you go back and listen to when Austin comes out, dude, holy shit.
Right, that was at the beginning of 99, because I remember he won it again at SummerSlam, which I've never got an explanation for. They were pushing Hunter for like months and months and months. And then when it came to him winning, the story I heard was that Austin refused to lay down for Hunter. He wouldn't give up his title for Hunter, but he would give it up for Foley. And that's why Foley won that night.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey. You know, that's what Mick Foley's his buddy, his friend, his longtime friend. So,
Yeah, he lost it. I think he lost it the next night, I think. But it was, that's just a story I've always heard. I don't know what exactly happened. Like, I've only ever heard that story.
Do you have any notes for Royal Rumble or any of the matches that took place besides just Steve Austin winning the Royal Rumble to get the match with Shawn Michaels at 14?
No, but I did watch it again, and it was all right.
Okay. It was okay. All right.
Yeah, just all right. It wasn't groundbreaking. I mean, we still have – this is still kind of like the leftovers of – like, at this point, we're still the leftover bit of the pre-Attitude Era. It's, they're starting to peel away. We don't get a full Attitude Era Rumble until 99.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's still remnants of the old 95 through 97 roster. So, do you got anything else?
No, man, that's it. Just, you know, memorable for Mike Tyson and Stone Cold, man. That's always one of the, you know, pinpoint moments of WWE starting to turn it around, getting some major players. And Mike Tyson definitely helped them in that regard through this whole WrestleMania run towards WrestleMania and in WrestleMania as well. It was the first WrestleMania I watched and I bought as a, you know, semi-adult. I think I was 16. No, I was 8. I was 17. My birthday hadn't came yet, so I was 17 during this time. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun going back and watching and remembering the people and the matches and some of the stories and like, oh yeah, man, DOA and the Boricuas and all these factions, you know, in the midst of Stone Cold running wild was pretty cool.
One thing I will give them credit for is that they, if you didn't see the pay-per-view, they do a good job of kind of filling you in on what happened.
See?
Like, you know, after the next night on Raw. So that was pretty good. Because if I hadn't watched it, I wouldn't have known like what happened to Undertaker. But then Paul Bearer told us exactly what transpired.
Exactly.
So that was cool of them. So I guess that's it for this week. Unless you have anything else.
No, just shout outs and thank yous, man. So, you know, I'd just like to give a shout out to Mr. Samuel Colunga for being the host of this lovely program. Like, give a shout out to Miss Dee Dee Jonay, Miss Simi. Give a shout out also to Miss Jay Trilla. She joined us for this SmackDown Matters and NXT cast this past week. So please check those podcasts out. Check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron. Listen to the Dark Match. Listen to the Push by the Hill Heat podcast. So please, please, please continue to support and listen to CSPN. And thank you to everybody who's given us feedback on these separate shows and how much you guys like them and the content being a little bit shorter. So we greatly appreciate the feedback.
All right. So looks like we'll be out. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Time's ticking.
You think I want this? You think I wanted to do this? I don't want this. I have to do this, Drew. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. This is bigger than all of us. And look, you're going to be a great champion someday. But you're not a leader. I am a leader. In time, this is all going to make sense to you. And look, when that time comes, you can find me.
Thank you, Seth. Things are clear to me now. It was clear. You're completely full of I don't know what this is, what this is about, what's going on in that warped brain of yours. I do know one thing. Look at me, Seth. I will not let you win this championship. You jumped me a couple of weeks ago. You didn't finish the job. at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, finish the job, go for the throat, because I'll sure as hell go for yours.
Have faith in.
Oh, my! Rollins bounced off of it!